Appreciate you guys very much. Thank you for helping deliver us into the Holy of Holies, the throne room of grace. Children, God bless you. Nursery and those instructing them, bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Brian, good to see you, man. Amen. Is there anybody else that came in that we missed early on in the welcome?
Gary?
Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Welcome back, Gary. God, those of you tuning in on Facebook, God bless you and welcome you. Everybody okay? Is everybody full of faith? Are you? No, wait, I'm being serious. Are you full of faith in God? Are you full of faith? In other words, are you full of trust, right, in God? Are you full of believing that God is able to do it? Yes? Okay, I'm just checking. I'm just trying to take the temperature right now because, you know, in Christian circles, I am still seeing a little bit of doubt. I'm seeing a little bit of doubting Thomas come up. Well, Jesus, I want to touch the wound because I'm not sure if I'll believe otherwise. I've forgotten what you've done for me in the past, so I'm not really sure if you're still here. It's amazing in our humanness how short our memory can be. It's amazing how easily we just kind of, bye. I forgot everything you've done for me in the past, God, because right now I'm going through something and I don't see where you're at. Are you still there? And we forget that the Word is the truth that we need to believe. And the Word says, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Meaning he has not gone. We put restrictions on God. I've talked about it in the past. I talk about it again today. We put God in a box. We say that what he did in the past, he won't do now. We say that the gifts of the past are not for now. We say that the move of the Spirit in the past is not for now. And I want to remind you that that's not true. That's a lie from the enemy. And the church has spent more time fighting one another than the world. The world doesn't have to do anything because the church is fighting one another. We've laid out the line and says, you don't believe the way I believe, so you're not my brother or my sister. And I'm here hoping today that you're all ears. Pastor Weldon last week brought a message talking about tongues. Why tongues? Why have a prayer language? And he laid out so clearly that because when we pray in the Spirit, that we're not praying as we know, but we're praying through God himself, and he understands what is being said. Did you know that it takes faith to believe that? I don't know if you heard what I just said. You see, people will say, I don't believe it, and that's because you have no faith. I'm not sure if you're hearing what I'm saying. I'm challenging you right now. If you don't believe the power of God and you don't believe in praying in tongues, then your lack of faith in the Word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is clear, and you need to understand the clearness of it. Maybe you don't want to do it, but is it helpful and beneficial for you? You better believe it. Is it a little bit difficult at times because you've got to get out of self? You better believe it. But I'm here to tell you, when I get out of self and get into God, it's a whole lot easier. Because when I try to figure out God with my own mind, I get confused. I try to rationalize things, and I try to look at things, and when I'm looking at things in myself, I'm looking at things the way the world does, and the world is normal, but we're biblical. There's a difference. And when you understand the difference that we're biblical, we're Bible-believing, that's the truth of God, and everybody else is a liar, then the truth will come within you. The title of today's message is Teething. Growing some teeth. Your mouth, when you're born as a baby, has no teeth. Did you know that your teeth are created in you to grab hold of? I hope you have the spiritual eyes on. You can start catching some of what I'm saying and catch revelation spiritually. Your teeth give you the ability to grab hold of, to bite down, to rip and tear apart. Your molars give you the ability to start the process of mastication, to chew it up. digest. Do you hear what I'm saying? To digest and put nourishment into your body. Digestion starts in your mouth, not in your gut. Out of the mouth comes life and death. What are you chewing on? What are you eating? What are you digesting? It starts right here. What are you speaking? Right here. And so I'm talking about teething. This is what happens when a baby starts to teethe. Signs and symptoms of teething. For all of you expecting a baby or have a brand new baby and you're not sure what to look for, signs and symptoms of teething. All my moms and dads in here that have older children, do you remember the teething of your little one? Broke the microphone. Swollen and tender gums. Fussiness and crying. Hold on a minute now. You ever try to minister to somebody? And it's just fussiness and crying coming from them? Don't lose heart. They're teething. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Low-grade fever. Gnawing and wanting to chew on hard things. That's a definition. But think about it. Wanting to chew on hard things. You see, you got to grow some teeth before you can start eating meat. You got to grow some teeth before you can start eating meat. You can't chew on the hard things of God if you have no teeth. Lots of drooling, which can lead to a facial rash. Coughing, rubbing of cheeks, pulling of ears, change of eating and sleeping habits. The reality is when you start to teethe, bottom line is it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. You ever been uncomfortable when you're learning about the things of God? Somebody starts to talk about praying in tongues and you're kind of like, that's of the devil. You're a liar. No, it's not. But you can't and maybe don't want to get your head around it. So you're going to come at it and attack it because it's uncomfortable to you. Because you're not willing to grow the teeth to digest it a little bit. See, this is about growth versus no growth. Remember 2 weeks ago when I talked about, do you have 20 years of experience or 1 year of experience repeated 20 times? You see, this is where I believe we are as a church body. I think this is a strong body of believers. I believe it's a very, very strong body of believers. And I believe the way we continually get stronger is we lay our stones, we throw our stones down, we quit trying to fight one another, and we go deeper with God. Yes, sir. We start to, in areas where we have lost teeth or maybe not grown teeth, we pray that they start growing back. Teeth are so important. When an adult starts to lose their teeth, they get false teeth because teeth are important. I once knew a guy that could eat a frozen Snicker bar with his gums. Lost all his teeth, and he would eat a frozen Snicker bars with his gums. I had no earthly clue how this guy did this. But I'm here to tell you, your teeth are important. And when you start to grow them, when babies start to grow them, it's very uncomfortable. And not only is it uncomfortable for the baby that's growing the teeth, it's uncomfortable for the parents of the child that is growing the teeth. Because when the baby doesn't sleep, you don't sleep. Pastor, anybody in here who's ministered to somebody, you ever lose sleep over someone who's not getting it? You ever lose sleep over somebody who's trying to get it and they're having some trouble learning? It's uncomfortable for them. Well, if you have any compassion in you, it's a little bit uncomfortable for me too, right? I lose sleep over you because I love you, right? Hear what I'm saying. Somebody in your family maybe that doesn't go to church and maybe isn't saved, but you're trying to minister to them and they're a baby. Do you lose sleep over them as they are uncomfortable and struggle through the process of trying to get themselves wrapped around who Jesus Christ is? Yes, sir. Think about that. Anybody ever have burdens for their family? Yes, sir. burdens for those in the world who are lost, right? They're teething. You're mature, because if you weren't mature, you wouldn't be ministering to them. Think about it, right? But it's an uncomfortable process all the way around. Jesus Christ got real uncomfortable on the cross for us, hoping that we would get it. Think about it. He gave himself for us. How many of us are willing to give ourselves for others? Thank you, Jesus. That's what I say to that. Thank you, Jesus. Now is not the time to shrink down into minimalist, into nothingness. But now is the time to rise as the church in this country, in this world, in this nation, in your city, your surrounding communities. Now is the time that you individually be recognized as a believer, unshaken in your faith. Unshaken in your faith. You see, what needs to be shaken off of us is religion. What needs to be shaken off of us is the cares of the world. But as our faith goes in Christ, that needs to rise. That needs to be elevated. The only way to elevate our faith in Christ is to go through a little bit of teething. Because I'm here to tell you, until the day you graduate and meet Jesus at the pearly gates, you have not arrived. Nobody in here, nobody in this world has arrived. I love being able to talk to Pastor Lynn, 83 years young, who is excited about learning things about God every day of her life. And that stirs me. Where's Pastor Lynn? Guys, that stirs me, because I look and I go, man, I get to learn more. I can still learn. But you only learn unless you start chewing on some things other than the elementary things of God, which I'll be getting there. The easiest way to do something uncomfortable is to have a strong desire and a why. I'm going to ask you that you challenge yourself. Do you have a strong desire and reason why that you want to grow closer to God? That you want to go deeper with God, that you want all of the promises that God has laid out for you. Do you want them? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be a part of that? It might be a little uncomfortable for you, but you got to get out of the way. I don't think you heard what I said. You have to get out of the way. I still don't think you heard me. You have to get out of the way. I'm not getting a warm and fuzzy. I still don't think you got it. You have to get, maybe I'm just talking to myself. I could be talking to myself, because you've arrived already and you're not in your way, right? Listen, who's their own worst enemy? You have to get out of the way. When we talk about praying in tongues and you're not willing to receive that, who's in the way? When we talk about prophesying and you're not willing to receive that, who's in the way? When you're not receiving or willing to be prayed for because you've got it all figured out, who's in the way? Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? You got to get out of the way. We're in times right now that we have never seen. Nobody alive right now has ever seen the way this country is right now. But I believe that in the times like this is when the church rises up the most. And that is the most exciting thing. So what I'm trying to do is stir myself and stir you to a point that we need to grow up. We need to grow up. We need to stand up. It's not the time to lay down. 1 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church. Messed up bunch of believers, but dealing with some issues, right? I gave you milk to drink, he says. I gave you milk to drink. I didn't give you solid food because you weren't ready for it. I believe we are ready for it. Amen. I believe we're ready for it. And if you're not, get out of your way. Get out of your own way. You see, he wasn't giving them meat to eat, because he didn't want them to choke. Even now, you aren't ready for it, because you're still influenced by your corrupt nature. Oh, come on. Come You're still influenced by your corrupt nature. Oh, come on now. Let's just be loving to everyone. It doesn't matter what you do, say, or think. There's no big deal with that. Oh, come on. If Steve and Steve love each other, why can't they be married? Oh, come on. Come on. If you disagree with them, you're showing you don't love them. Oh. We don't love the world. We love the person. The world's ways are not right. You don't have to agree with somebody because you think it's going to be the best thing for them. But the church has lost its way. The church has gone away of pretty much anything can be acceptable in the spirit of love. But I would say anybody having sexual encounters out of marriage is a spirit of lust. But we have gotten far away from that. And we choose not to look at it. It's a time to grow up. If this is hard to hear, teething's uncomfortable. Even now you aren't ready for it because you're still influenced by your corrupt nature. Are you born again? Yep. Do you have a corrupt spirit? No. You have an incorruptible spirit.
That's right.
But the influence of who you once were is corrupting the way you think. So the Bible tells us to get our minds transformed. Don't be conformed to the way you used to be, but be transformed to who you are now. The scripture says don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But don't be conformed to who you used to be. Don't be corrupted by the influence of your old self. I used to do this. And you know what? No one ever died from it, so it really can't be that big of a deal. Stop it. You're new. Are you new?
Yeah.
Say, I'm new. All right. But we have to start. I'm pointing the finger at myself too, guys. All right. We have to start believing that. And we have to start putting that into action, which is the wisdom of God. We have to do that. Why? Not only for your sake, but your family's sake and those around you, and for the kingdom of God, because you're an ambassador to the kingdom of God. People are looking at you to see how you act. They're looking at you. And if you're acting like the world, then what difference are you than the world? I go to church. Pastor Weldon earlier today said, listen, you can go to church all you want. It doesn't make you a Christian. Take a little bite if you have to. Sometimes little bites are easier to chew on than big bites. But these are things that we have to meditate on. Do a self-inventory of where you're at. Right now, guys, is not the time to play church. Playing time is over. When I was a child, I acted like a child. I thought as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. It's time to put away some childish things in our lives and grow up. The only way you can grow up nice and strong is to chew on some meat. And so we move on. When you are jealous and quarrel among yourselves, he's not talking about a believer quarreling among the world. When you quarrel among yourselves, he's talking about believers quarreling with believers. Well, I just don't believe that. I just don't think you're right. Bible also says have nothing to do with them. I don't have time for that. You want to fight, you want to quarrel, and you think something's off? Don't have time for it. Don't have time for it. When you do those things, aren't you influenced by your corrupt nature and living by human standards?
Come on.
That's the word, guys. That's not me. This is the word. So let's break it down. Let's chew on this a little bit. You see, this is hard stuff to hear, but that's why I said tithing is uncomfortable. If you want to eat this, you got to chew it up a little bit. Swallow it. But the digestion starts in the mouth. You've got to digest it a little bit. Especially when you are walking. Here. It's really easy to get your toes stepped on. Especially when you're walking close to someone. I will be transparent. I'll tell you. If I'm an idiot, if I've done something stupid, I'll tell you. I had nothing to hide. Yep, messed up, whatever. If I say something wrong from the pulpit, I'll apologize if I need to. I'm not perfect in any kind of way, but Christ in me is perfect. But dang it, I'm trying to get better. And the only way that I can get better is by getting deeper with the Lord, by growing closer to Him, by seeking Him out. By not just praying when I need something, but always having communication with Him on a daily basis. And my toes have been stepped on because I've walked close to people, and I have stepped on many people's toes because they've chose to walk close to me. The real challenge comes is if you get your toe stepped on, you want to just leave and walk away. I can't handle it. You see, that's why a lot of people want to be alone. It's a form of protection for themselves. That's why there's a lot of people, and those even listening here maybe, why you're not in a church body, because you had your toes stepped on and you're like, psh, I ain't going to do that again. Mama didn't raise no fool. But you've missed the point. You missed the point. We've got to grow. We've got to get stronger. We've got to get better. When I was in the military, there was not this nice, kind words that made me stronger as a soldier. Bullets are flying, bullets are flying, bullets are flying, run! No, it said in the midst of battle, stand, don't you retreat. That's treasonous. You can get shot for that. Fight. I remember getting ready to jump out of a plane, doors open up. If I would have frozen the door, guess what? Jumpmaster kicks you out. That's the truth. I was a jumpmaster. That's the truth. Somebody frozen the door, you have 60 people behind you, on one side of the aircraft, trying to go out the plane. If you freeze, we're missing a drop zone and everybody else is getting landed in the trees. Can't have that. Guess what? Bye. Get out of here. You got to go. I don't even know where I was. But remember, teething is uncomfortable. I was talking about kindness. Listen, kindness is part of the Holy Ghost. Kindness is good. Do you guys think I'm being mean? No? Because open rebuke's better than hidden love, right? Yeah. I can watch anybody and everybody do things that they shouldn't do, and I just keep it to myself and pray for them silently to myself, going, God, I hope they have a breakthrough. Or I can go to the individual and I say, listen, what you're doing is not good. You probably need to change something. You rebuke a brother, you gain him. You rebuke a fool, you drive him further away. That's Scripture. We choose whether or not we want to chew on it. If we don't want to chew on it, we can be a fool and walk away. But I'm here to tell you, you'll never grow if you don't eat. You'll never grow if you don't eat. You see, why don't we drink milk still? 48 years old. Why am I not drinking milk only? Because it's not going to give me everything I need. We need more. And it's been laid out in the Word if you are willing to get in to it. If you're willing to seek the Holy Ghost, to get stirred, to get fired up, to be encouraged, to build up your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. Hebrews 5:11 through 14 says this. We have a lot to explain about this. We have a lot to explain about this. But since you have become too lazy to pay attention, explaining it to you is hard. I didn't say this. God said it. Blame Him. But think about that. I read this and I'm like, all right, Lord, am I too lazy? Personalized. Am I too lazy to pay attention? See, I love it when God gives me a revelation and I don't have to live on someone else's. The only way that I get revelation and without having to live on someone else's revelation is by getting closer to God myself. I think that's nourishment, and I love to eat that. See, I think that's the banquet table that's laid before us. See, I can look at this banquet table, and I can see revelation, revelation smothered in gravy, revelation with icing and ice cream, and revelation with jerky. I like beef jerky. Revelation with jerky. But do you understand what I'm saying? To take the kiddingness aside, the banquet table is laid out before us, and we're only going to eat from it if we're willing to reach down and grab it. You see, you can have stuff laid before you like a gift. I know you might maybe have to read through some lines in what I'm saying today, but blame God, not me. But you may receive a present, and it never go open. I mean, it just goes through your entire life unopened. It's laid out before you. And you just kind of look at it every day and never take the time to open it. God wants to give you a present so you can open it. Don't leave the presents unopened. Bless the giver. Bless the giver. You see, when you grow closer to God, that blesses God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Bless the giver. He gave a son for you. Bless the giver. We're not trying to crucify Christ all over again. Impossible to do. By now, you should be teachers. Instead, you still need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word. Elementary is simply early education. I don't know. I think everybody might be saved in here. You probably don't need to hear Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you can be saved. If you're saved, you probably don't need to hear that again. But there are some people maybe listening who haven't heard Jesus Christ is your Lord. If you accept Him, He's your Savior. You're not saved by your works. You're only saved by the grace of God through your belief that you're saved by the grace of God and created for good works, so that you can't boast about how awesome you are because He's the awesome one. Amen. And because of Him, He made you right with Him. But I know most of you in here pretty good. And I know you know that already. We don't have to rehash that. Bible says if you have time, rehash it. But I think we're running out of some time too. Time to graduate. It goes on and says, you need milk, not solid food. All those who live on milk lack the experience to talk about what is right. All of those that live on milk lack the experience to talk about what is right. They're still babies. However, solid food is for mature people whose minds are trained, whose minds, see, your spirit is right with God, but you got to get your mind trained, right? Whose minds, the mature people are the ones whose minds are trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. By practice. Having done something two times doesn't make you proficient. It doesn't make you an expert. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Why? Because the more you do, the stronger you get. The more you do something in the kingdom of God, the stronger you get at it. If you fail to ever do it and just wait, Lord, please. Not saying He can't, but that's not the principle that's laid out. Time to grow up. Chewing on some things. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 says, With this in mind, we should stop going over the elementary truths about Christ and move on to topics for more mature people. We shouldn't repeat the basics about turning away from the useless things we did and the basics about faith in God. We shouldn't repeat the basic teachings about such things as baptisms, plural. Baptism, water. Baptism, spirit. Baptism, fire. Evidence of tongues. Gifts of the Spirit. Setting people apart for holy tasks. Dead people coming back to life. And eternal judgment. If God permits, we will do this. But come on, let's go a little deeper. I added that. But come on, let's go a little bit deeper. Listening to the excuses in yourself need to be over. You need to drop them. You need to stop self-limiting yourself. And you need to stop limiting God. We don't give ourselves enough credit of who we are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. But when you limit Christ and you limit yourself, what's left? Well, let's see what the government can pay me in a monthly check. Do you hear what I'm saying? Little bite? Big bite? Smorgasbord? I don't know. Hebrews 6:12. Then instead of being lazy, you will imitate those who are receiving the promises through faith and patience. That takes me to today. Today. Faith and patience. There are people right now, believers, who have thrown in the towel and said, oh my gosh, the prophets are false prophets. Oh my gosh, I can't believe what's going on. Oh my gosh, where's God? Oh, it's all over as we know it. Faith and patience inherit the promise. When the Israelites were freed from Egypt, they were free, yes? But the Egyptians did chase after them. They had some things happening. They were looking out there and they were going, oh, they're coming. You brought us out here for us to die now. At that final moment, at that just the right time moment, boom, parting of the Red Sea. Boom, escape through the Red Sea to freedom. Boom, the enemy was destroyed at the opportune time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, at the right time. They were thrown into the fire. See, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's not that they escaped the persecution. They were thrown into the fire. But at the right time, at that right moment, boom, there was a fourth in the fire. And they were set free and not harmed. Daniel refused to do what the king was saying. He was thrown into the lion's den. He wasn't removed from it. He was thrown into it. But at the right time, at the right moment, boom, he made friends with the kitty cat. And his enemies were thrown in and eaten and destroyed. At the right time. At the right time. There was a thief on a cross next to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he looked at him and he said, he's on the cross. He's dying. He is crucified, persecuted. Well, not persecuted because he was guilty. But at the right time, boom, today you'll be with me in paradise because he believed. I'm here to tell you, we can't lose faith even when it looks dark, because at the right time, boom, there will be a deliverance. At the right time, boom, be set free. At the right time, boom, the righteous will be in authority, and the whole world will rejoice. Don't lose heart. I watched a movie. I'm talking about patience. I watched a movie the other day, and it was an old-time scene. I think it was like the 1700s where it took place. And this Dutch and Duchess, they were posing for a portrait. The portrait was a painting. And they just stand there. Anybody ever painted before? Anybody ever painted a lifelike picture? Anybody have their picture taken before? Anybody ever be like me? Hurry up and take it already. Hurry up and take it already. We have a lot to learn about patience, guys. We get impatient because it takes 2 seconds to snap a camera photo. 2 seconds. Hurry up already. Jeez, man, how long I got to be here? But see, back in that day, they had to pose for like a couple hours. A couple hours, man. In one position. Because they didn't want it to look funny, right? I don't know. I was just meditating on this. I think maybe you can find something else to meditate on yourself. But we're not patient anymore. But the Bible's clear, and it says faith and patience inherits the promises. And we want things to happen right now. Right now. God, you're going to do it right now. And God's looking at you saying, it's not the right time. Quit trying to force my hand. It will happen at the right time. Amen. At the right time. Amen. At the right time. Manifestation. You ever heard that word before? Manifestation. Manifestation means it's an event, an action, or an object that clearly shows or embodies something, especially a theory or an abstract idea. We pray for somebody that the manifestation of the Spirit would be upon them, that the manifestation of their healing would come to fruition. You guys heard any of this before? Anything like that? We want it to manifest. We want it to be evident. I want it to be now. I want to see this. Scripture lays it out, 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the clear embodiment of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone that accepts. But the manifestation of the Spirit means that it should be seen and evident on you. Because that's what manifestation means. There should be a difference in us. There should be a difference in us. There should be a difference in us. It should show and embody, clearly show and embody that the Spirit is alive in us by what we do, how we present ourselves, how we act, how we think. You know a Christian by their fruit. Rotten fruit isn't good. And then they say, but I'm a brother in the Lord. And you go, whoa, what happened? Let's prune some branches because your fruit's rotten. And I need you to be able to chew. You see, you know why the fruit is rotten? Oh my gosh, here's a revelation. You know why the fruit's rotten? Because it's easier to chew. You see, to go deeper in Christ, you got to get some teeth. And it's a little uncomfortable. But it's easier to chew on rotten, mushy fruit. But I want the crisp, solid apple. But I got to have some teeth to do that. Think about it. Watch somebody with no teeth try to eat an apple. Not very easy. So then they'll take a knife and they'll cut it to try and make it easier. I'm not talking about you, Pastor. You got teeth. But even then, you bite it, and the skin is harder to chew than the actual flesh. Think about it. The skin's actually harder to chew than the flesh, but the skin is where the nutrients are most. But you need teeth to be able to eat it. Manifestation on you should be evident because the Spirit is upon you. And it says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man that profit to profit with all. John 14, 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." If you do not believe or feel as though God's Spirit is manifest in you, then you need to question your love for Christ. That's not me saying it. That's the Word that says it. You love him, he'll manifest you to himself. I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. God will manifest himself. He will clearly show and embody you. It will be evident. We get confused. And we try to figure out, is that person saved? Is that one saved? We have to look at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves. You question, are they saved? And I question, are you saved? Look at yourselves. Remember, teething is difficult. Teething is uncomfortable. But teething is a necessary part of life. And when we start to chew on the things of God that we're uncomfortable with, it's for your growth. If you have somebody around you that kind of tweaks you a little bit and it's hard to be around them, it's not for them, it's for your growth. Because maybe you need to change a little bit. Maybe there's something that you need to, maybe you need to learn a little bit more about grace. Maybe you need to learn a little bit more about mercy. Maybe you need to learn a little bit more about the kindness of the Spirit that lives in you. If you're depressed and you have people that are joyful all around you and you have a problem with people being joyful around you, maybe it's because you need to learn a little bit on how it's to be joyful. I say that specifically because I've had people come to me and say, I don't want to be there at church because people are too happy. We laugh about it, but think about it, how sad that is. And we should have the compassion for them. That's a horrible place to be. But don't allow the negativity of one to bring you down as well. You see, parents in here, when we talk about influencing things, like we talk to our kids, right? And we're like, you probably shouldn't hang around her anymore.
I agree.
Because there's a negative influence, right? I'm kidding. I am kidding, all right? I love you guys. Stop it. Father, we pray for this youngster, Lord, as she goes back to college today. Safe travels in Jesus' name. Straight A's. Don't let your father down. Yeah. But think about it. We tell our children, don't hang around that person because they're a bad influence. Do you remember the scripture I was just reading? That Paul was saying, you're not ready to eat the meat. You're not ready. You still need the milk because you're being influenced by the corruption around you. We can't. We've got to put ourselves around those that have our back, those that are wise counsel, other brothers and sisters in the Lord. Right? Does any of this make sense?
Amen.
I hope it does. Let's close in prayer. I purpose to get better. I purpose to get better because I'm not a perfect father and I'm not a perfect husband. But I, as an individual, purpose to get better. And so, Father, we thank you that your heavenly realm knows no bounds. And those that are listening right now, those that are here right now, and those that will hear even later, that, Father, you've given us teeth for a reason, to chew on those things. And Lord, we don't need teeth to chew on easy things. We need teeth to chew on the difficult things. So God, in the difficult times right now, I thank you that our teeth are well formed and strong to be able to chew and digest the things that you will have for us, Lord. Thank you that you give my brothers and sisters the ability to push through and gnaw on the difficult things. Father, right now, and I bind every cavity, every spiritual thing that would lift itself up to prevent the proper chewing of your word. I bind loose teeth. And Father, those that have some difficulty in themselves and they are having trouble working it out, I pray for a supernatural root canal. That, Father, you would deaden the nerve so that they may be able to chew freely. Father, I know that there's things in us that needs to die. And that's our mind, will, and emotions, because our spirit is new in you. So, Father, I thank you that today is a new day, and we choose this day to rejoice. We choose this day to be glad. We choose this day to be new in you. Father, I pray that you will continually protect my brothers and sisters and their families. For those listening, and Father, if there's anyone here that does not know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, that they would accept you, that they would surrender to you, that they would raise the white flag and say, Lord, I need you. In these difficult times, God, I need you. In these difficult times, God, train me. In these difficult times, God, lead me. Father, it's with all honor we serve you and we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.